Turn your pew Bible this morning. We're going to begin in the book of Judges, chapter 4. And the next couple of weeks, I'm going to bring you stories from the Old Testament of how the Holy Spirit worked through different individuals that we get to read about. And so today you're going to read about a lady by the name of Deborah. And we're going to talk about how God used her in a great way, but how the Holy Spirit led her in her life and some of the qualities that she possessed to live this kind of a life. And so I want to start out with the story of Deborah, and then we're going to look into the New Testament as well. And so follow along with me, Judges chapter 4. There's a few good Old Testament names in here that I'm sure that I'll probably crucify. How's that sound? But we'll get through it, all right? So some of these Old Testament names. And so let's follow along with me to read the story of Deborah. Now let me just set the stage. There were 15 judges took care of the people of Israel, and they exited out of Egypt. They're in the desert. Joshua now is starting to leave the scene. They're in the land of Canaan. They don't have a leader, and so God appoints judges, those who that will help guide them and teach them God's ways and to direct their lives. And so Deborah is one of those judges for a certain period of time that the people of God come to her and they need her advice. They need her direction. They're not sure what to do. There might be disputes. There might be decisions that need to be made. And so then we come into the life of Deborah here in Judges chapter 4. And let me say this. The people of Israel, they're in this habit of we need God, we need God, we draw close to God. And then they get comfortable and they drift away from God, and then they sin. Terrible things go on. And this is repetitive in the Old Testament. You know that. You understand that. And so Deborah's part of this now. And so let's read about her life. Again, the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord. Now that Ehud was dead. So the Lord sold them into the hands of Jabin, king of Canaan, who reigned in Hazor. Sisera, the commander of his army, was based in Harosheth Hagoyim, because he had 900 chariots fitted with iron and had cruelly oppressed the Israelites for 20 years. They cried to the Lord for help. Now Deborah, a prophet, the wife of Lapidoth, was leading Israel at the time. She held court under the palm of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel in the hill country of Ephraim. And the Israelites went up to her to have their disputes decided. She sent for Barak, son of Abinom, from Kadesh in Naphtali, and said to him, "The Lord, the God of Israel, commands you, go take with you 10,000 men of Naphtali and Zebulun, and lead them up to Mount Tabor. I will lead Sisera, the commander of Jabin's army, with his chariots and his troops to the Kishon River, and give him into your hands." And Barak said to her, "If you go with me, I will go, but if you don't go with me, I won't go." "Certainly I will go with you," said Deborah, "but because of the curse you are taking, the honor will not be yours, for the Lord will deliver Sisera into the hands of a woman." So Deborah went with Barak to Kadesh. There Barak summoned Zebulun and Naphtali, and 10,000 men went up under his command. Deborah also went up with him. Now Heber, the Kenite, had left other Kenites, the descendants of Hobab, Moses' brother-in-law, and pitched his tent by the great tree in Zananim near Kadesh. When they told Sisera that Barak, son of Abinom, had gone up to Mount Tabor, Sisera summoned from Harosheth Hagoyim to the Kishon River all his men and his 900 chariots fitted with iron. Then Deborah said to Barak, "Go, this is the day the Lord has given Sisera into your hands. Has not the Lord gone ahead of you?" So Barak went down to Mount Tabor with 10,000 men following him. At Barak's advance, the Lord routed Sisera and all his chariots and army by the sword. And Sisera got down from his chariot, and he fled on foot. Barak pursued the chariots and army as far as Harosheth Hagoyim, and all Sisera's troops fell by the sword. Not a man was left. Now let me add something to this story that you don't know. And if you were to keep doing some reading and know this, God sent a massive rainstorm upon the land. And Sisera's chariots, 900 chariots, horses, and those chariots, they got stuck in the mud. They were useless. And so that's how he conquered, Barak conquered this army. And so it was, they couldn't see how it was won, but Deborah knew that God would provide. And he did through a rainstorm. And you don't get this in this story, but that's exactly what happened here. And so let's come to our Lord in time of prayer and learn about Deborah this morning. Lord, as we've read from your scripture, Lord, I pray that you bring this story to life. Lord, I pray that as we learn about her life, Lord, that it's a reflection on how you want us to live. Lord, may you fill me with the Holy Spirit, Lord, that you bring understanding to this message today for your people. Open their hearts, their minds, and souls to receive it. And Lord, may these words be yours and not mine. And may you fill me with that same Spirit. In Jesus I pray, amen. I got so excited I forgot to read two more Bible verses to you, didn't I? So I want you to turn just to one, though. I want you to turn to 2 Peter with me, 1 verse 21. I'm going to give you 1 Corinthians here in just a little bit. So turn with me to the book of 2 Peter, way in the back of your Bible. This is a pretty important verse because this gives you understanding of what Deborah is going through as well. Chapter 1, verse 21. Everybody with me? Here's the important part that we need to know about the Spirit. For prophecy never had its origin in the human will, but prophets, though human, spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. Meaning that the Holy Spirit gave them what they needed to do what God called them to do throughout the Old Testament through prophets, people who spoke on God's behalf. So there you have it. So here's the verse that I want to start out with you this morning. And this is the one, if you've got your Bible, you can read it. But I want you to think about this verse as it pertains to your life this morning from 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. I want you to think about that just briefly there for just a moment of what that says. And if you go on to read verse 10 and 11, it says this, and I'm paraphrasing here, all of this made possible by the work of the Holy Spirit in your life, is what it says. Now let me read that to you again. You follow along with me. Now I want you to think about it. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no mind has imagined. You can't think about this stuff because your mind won't go there. What God has prepared for those who love him in your life. Let that sink in a little bit this morning. All made possible by the Holy Spirit working in your life. So that verse tells you and I this morning that when we're in a relationship with Jesus Christ, that our minds cannot imagine what God will do with our life. Amen to that? Right? You're going to go places that you never thought were possible. You're going to see things that you couldn't imagine that could be possible in the life that you're living. Those types of things are going to go on in your life when you follow God as your Lord and Savior. Think about the eyes that have been watching you. They'll be amazed by what they see. Think about the ears which have been listening to our lives. They'll be overwhelmed by what God does with our lives. The truth is, this morning, our faith in God, choosing to serve Jesus, is what makes us extraordinary people in life. And I'm going to talk to you about one extraordinary person this morning through Deborah that you get to be a part of this morning. Because extraordinary comes from understanding who we are in Christ. Whose family we're a part of. You're part of the family of God. And who desires to empower you and I to live those extraordinary lives here in this world today. And it comes from tapping into the resource of the Holy Spirit in your life that empowers you to live this kind of a life. And so may we be encouraged by that this morning. So let's get into Deborah's life. Let's talk about what kind of life she lived and the things she did. She lived an extraordinary life with God in the book of Judges. She's often referred to as a warrior princess, a judge of Israel, and a prophetess. And I want to share with you what her life looked like as she was led by the Holy Spirit. God gave her the gift, and we'll talk about those in just a moment. But you look at the verse out of 2 Peter that I read you this morning. For prophecy never comes from the human mind, but only from God, right? And he doles that out to his people. He informs them of how to live and what they should do in their lives. But God calls us to live in the same manner with the Holy Spirit. Now, if you have your Bible open with me this morning, and I have it on the screen, Judges 4, verse 4 says this. Now Deborah, a prophet, the wife of Lapidoth, was leading Israel at the time. Okay? Now just look at that verse. And you look at the verse, and I'm going to tell you about her life just briefly here. She's a prophet. You get that from that verse. She is a wife. We get that from that verse. I'm assuming that she was probably a mother. I don't know that for sure, but I'm assuming that she probably had children. But the Bible doesn't say. She also was a leader, a judge, someone that counseled people of Israel, God's people. Now, do you think she was maybe a little bit busy in her life? How many of you are busy today? Come on, be honest with me. Yeah, everybody. We run. Right? It's been a busy week of VBS and all kinds of things going on. Can you imagine Deborah? She probably lived a life very similar than you and I, that life demanded a lot of things out of her in her life. But she did what the Lord called her to do. And that's where our lesson's going to come from this morning. She was busy, but she needed no prompting. The Spirit spoke to her, and she reacted, she responded, and she did what God called her to do. And so people who live extraordinary lives for God, they have some common things that they do, and I'm going to share those with you this morning. And here's some of the common things that Deborah did that you and I need to do in our life. First was that Deborah was in touch with the Lord. All right? Not just once in a while, but all the time. Her relationship with God is the most important thing in her life. And get this. She is so filled with the Holy Spirit of God's leading that people could see it in her life. They were drawn to her. They wanted to talk with her. They wanted to go to her in that type of way in her life. If you look at Judges 4, verse 5, this is not on the screen. It says this. She held court under the palm of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel in the hill country of Ephraim. And the Israelites, they'd travel up to her, I'm assuming every day except for the Sabbath, which had been on a Saturday. So this tree was approximately located about 15 miles north of Jerusalem. And so if you have your map out and you have your phone, whatever it might be, you can look that up and see where this tree was located. And so she probably went there daily except for the Sabbath. And her gift from God was wisdom and prophecy. For she could tell people about what was going on in their lives and maybe what the future even held of how you should react to these or the things that God is calling you to do. And people came to her with their problems. She'd guide them. She'd speak to them on how best to work them out. And here's the point I want to make about it. The Spirit of God was working in her life all the time. Her gift was being utilized all the time. God just poured her out into the people of Israel and used her in a great way. And so I want to encourage you that the Holy Spirit in your life can guide you in the same manner when we stay connected to God. Now here's going to be the more challenging one for you that I'm going to share with you next. Okay? And as you we learn this, we get better at it. But here is what Deborah did. Deborah found time for her ministry. All right? That might hit pretty hard this morning, huh? But God was her priority. Her ministry was her priority in her life. Now, let me explain that just a little bit. I told you that she was a wife of Lapidoth, right? She was married. There's no indication at all that she neglected her husband. And by the way, Lapidoth was a farmer. He was busy in the fields and maybe had livestock around to take care of and so on. But we see in Scripture that she was a good wife. We think she might have been a mother and she took time for her children. And still she led the people of Israel. But she had time that she took to lead God's people. She invested into her ministry. She invested into her gifts that God had given her. And here's the point I want to make with you this morning. If you want to live an extraordinary life, you need to use the gift that God has given you. And if you're sitting back there this morning thinking, well, it's not been very extraordinary for me lately, probably because you're not using your gift, right? And this is what Deborah did. This is how she lived her life. And if you come to me and say, well, I don't know if I got a gift, that's a lie, because God says everyone's given a gift to use in the kingdom of God. Deborah was the judge. She was a political and a spiritual leader of Israel in a hard time, in a harsh time. Let me tell you a little bit about the time that she judged in, and then I want you to think about the society that we live in today, of how broken it is and how far from God that we are. Now, you got to remember, the people of Israel, I told you, they come and they go, and they do really well, and then the wheels fall off everything, and they find themselves in sin and in the wrong places and doing the wrong things. Deborah, she judged. She led in a time of evil. Sin was rampant everywhere. A time when her nation had deserted God and rejected God outright. We see that today. Child sacrifice was everywhere. Abortion comes to mind, doesn't it? Idol worship was at an all-time high. There was famine. Evil was running amok in the country. It was no easy time for Deborah to do what she is called to do, but God used her to change his people. Guess what, church? God needs the church to change the country that we are living in today. And you know what? It starts with you. You want to change America? You don't like where it's going? It starts with the church. It starts with your gift. It starts with using that gift. That's where it starts. Deborah turned the country of Israel around. And God used judges in many ways. And he still uses people in great ways today. And so when we see the things we don't like, guess what? We have to step up and do something about that as the church. We have to love. We have to use our gift that God has given you. I'm going to share with you this morning a story. This is not a political story. I don't want you to walk out of here thinking, well, Rob's Republican or Democrat. But I want to share a story with you about the Secretary of State from a past president who was very much a believer in Jesus Christ this morning, that used her gift in a mighty way. Now, I'm going to date you just a little bit. So if you're younger, you might not recognize, but has anybody heard the name Condoleezza Rice? Yeah. She was the first Secretary of State, a black African-American woman, that was under George W. Bush. Okay? And so she served under him as president, did many things in her life. Now, I normally don't do this in a sermon, but I got to do a little bit of reading to you because it's a little bit of a longer story, and I want to get this right. And so let me share the story of her life, but I want you to look at how she was used by God in a time of need within this country. All right? Now, some of you that lived that and know her, and you were part of, you were alive when that happened, you'll get it, you'll make sense of it. But even if you're younger, when did Bush serve, in the 80s? I think I got that down here. Nope, 93 to 99, all right? Now, if you were born in 2000, I'm sorry, but you'll get a little bit of a history lesson here this morning, okay? So let me show you about her life. And by the way, let me also state this morning that you find quite interesting. The woman that did the interview with her, her name is Leslie Montgomery, and she lives in Lake Norton, South Dakota. She's from the Midwest. Which I find kind of unique, because it's one of ours, and so she wrote this story about Condoleezza Rice. So with that in mind, let me dig into this. What made Condoleezza Rice such an extraordinary leader in our world today was her quiet faith. She is a Christian. One of America's most prominent women in government said her faith in Christ is at the core of her identity. She's been called the devil's handmaiden, a history maker, a rock star, Bush's secret weapon, the most influential woman in the world, a rising star, a murderer due to the death toll in Iraq, and a traitor to her race, among other things. What is so extraordinary about former Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice seems to be how compliments nor criticism cause her to lose her focus or identity of who she is and what she was called to do for the Lord. Rice's religious roots run deep. Raised in a Christian home, Rice says she never has known a day when she did not believe in God. Her father, John, was a Presbyterian pastor, and by the way, a Presbyterian church is the sister congregation of the Reformed Church, who took over the church's father planted in Birmingham, Alabama in 1920. If you know Birmingham, Alabama in the 60s, you'll get my story here shortly. Her mother, Angelina, was a teacher and a solid Christian heritage and an intense love for God. She says there were some defining moments that shaped her belief system. Now, this is hard for me to read, but listen to this. When she was 8 years old, two of her best friends were killed in the infamous 16th Street Baptist Church bombing that she's a part of that Sunday morning. One of the strongest tests of her faith had come some years later when she was 15. Her mother was diagnosed with breast cancer, fought a courageous battle, and died 15 years later at the age of 30. When she died, I knew that I would not be able to move beyond her death because of my intellect and certainly not by the power of reason. Rice said, instead, I would have to trust God's word and press closer into Him for what I needed and my loss. Only my faith in God could bridge the gap between what I was feeling and what I needed to do in dealing with my grief. And this is such a powerful statement I'm going to read to you here. I understood for the very first time in my life something I had heard in church all my life. The peace that surpasses all understanding was realized in that moment of her life. It is in those times when the intellect, when the human will, when the ability to understand with our feeble minds cannot serve as that the Spirit takes over somehow in our life and carry us through those moments. Some of you can attest to that. You've been there in your own life where you don't know where to turn and you don't know what to do, and you cry out to God for the Spirit to carry you through those moments in life. And she goes on to say this. Rice said she learned three important truths that changed her life. First, she learned that it's a privilege to struggle. She says, only through struggle do we realize the depth of our resilience and understand that the hardest of blows can be survived with God at your side. The second truth about struggle, it can conquer you or you can conquer it. Part of not allowing struggle to overcome our faith is attained by letting go of our own expectations and plans and holding on to God's plan for your life, whatever that is. And it's way different than what you and I have ever imagined. And there's a third truth in the privilege of struggle. You can find personal fulfillment and peace in times of pain and deep heartache. When God's power is full strength because we are weak, that enables the Spirit of the Lord to rest on us because you have nowhere else to turn in your life. Rice had no idea that God was strengthening her faith for a time when America would need it the most. After losing her father a couple months before, Condoleezza Rice would face the terrorist attack on September 11, 2001, as Secretary of State. She said this, I think after 9/11, and if you were with that day, what were the churches like that following week? They were full in this country. She said we all needed faith and we all needed God that day. Let me just share this with you about her life. She used her gift in a mighty, mighty way when God needed her to rise up. Deborah is no different. God rose her up in the midst of Israel in a time when the country was just a mess. And God used her in great ways. I want you to think this morning about the gift that God's given you. How will you use that in a mighty, mighty way? Right in your own home, in your own neighborhood, to touch the lives of those with Jesus Christ. Let me share this with you this morning as well. Many consider Deborah one of the most spiritual of all the judges. Remember I said how many were there? 15 judges that God appointed in that time frame. They said Deborah was the most spiritual, the most connected to God at the very deepest of levels. Now we have the story of Barak in verses 6 through 9 in Judges 4. The story that Barak was called by God through Deborah to fight the Canaanites, to earn their freedom, to be the people of God. But the only way that Barak would go is that if Deborah would go with. Now let me talk to you about what that history was like. How were women treated and how were they respected in the land when this is wrote? And let me just say this to you this morning. Women were not accepted as leaders, let alone on a military mission. I mean, this is extraordinary. And you look at the story here that's in Scripture this morning, and Barak said this to her in verse 8. If you go with me, I'll go, but if you don't go, I'm not going. And Barak is a person of faith. But what he's seen in Deborah was strength, and he's seen God. And if he knew that if he had Deborah by his side, that everything's going to be okay. God would secure the victory over the Canaanites. God would protect them. God would watch over them. You know, Deborah wasn't someone who went to God occasionally or followed the Torah. They only had the 5 books of the Bible, and most of that was memorized. They would have told stories. It wasn't in writing in Deborah's time, but she would have known it well. And I'm assuming she probably prayed often because God was a priority in her life, and she lived that way. People could see it. And so I have a question for you this morning. Do people see your spirituality? Do people see that the Holy Spirit is alive in you, that God is moving in you and using you in mighty ways, that people are drawn to you and they might come to you and ask, can you pray for me? Or I don't understand this, I need some of your wisdom, or wherever it might be. But what do people see? What does it look like on Tuesday morning? Or Thursday night, or whenever it is during the week, as you live life, do people view you in that way? Are you in touch with God that people see it as you live life? Because sometimes I think you and I, we blend into the society too much. So what does that look like? You know, people need to see your faith. Our country needs to see our faith, what we believe in. Our country needs to see who God is, and they see that through us, through you and I. And so I want to send you home this morning. I always like to challenge you and send you home with some homework, right? Of what do I need to do this week, and what does that look like in my life? And so what do we need to know and do from this message from God today that you and I just heard about? And so let me give you some things this morning. Our faith needs to grow in turbulent times, and even during turmoil, we need to hear God's voice. You need to be praying, seeking God in your life. You need to hear from Him. You need to allow the Holy Spirit to direct and guide you. And so I'm going to encourage you to stay connected to God. May the Lord be your priority in life from day to day. Now, here's another thing that's very important for you and I that we need to understand, because how many of you, I preached this, was it last week I talked about being stuck in a rut? Remember that message last week? For 25 miles, the wagon trains are crossing the prairies, and sometimes you get stuck in a rut. And hear this morning, if God's working in your life, you need to be flexible because life is going to change. The way that you think it's going today is not going to look that way a year from now, or 2 years from now, or 10. Life is going to change. And some of you are in the midst of change right now. Some things are good, some things are not so good. Just know that if you're going to be a follower of God, expect your life to change. Be flexible. All right? I had a professor in college. He was very mission-minded and did a lot of things out in the community of Sioux Falls. And one of his main themes that he always said is be flexible, otherwise you'll get bent out of shape. Right? How true is that? He said, in ministry, you got to flow with God. Don't go in there with your own idea thinking this is how you're going to do it. No, see what God's doing and where he's working and join in and be flexible. Choose to be in God's team. Follow his plan for your life. And then, you know, this morning I sit here and let me ask you this question. Why do you think you need to know this? Right? Why do you think it's so important for us to live that way? And here's why. This is what I want to share with you this morning. Because if we understand how to live extraordinary lives of faith for Jesus Christ, we can start to impact our community. And guess what? Our community starts to impact our country. Our country. So my encouragement today is don't hide your faith. The world needs to see it. They need to hear it. The good news of Jesus Christ. So I encourage you to live an extraordinary life with God through the Holy Spirit. And all of God's people said, amen.